Good morning, Oscoda and Tawas areas. My name is Scott Busich, and I'm the preacher for the Oscoda Church of Christ. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home this day and hope that you'll enjoy your time with me as we search the scriptures. You are invited to join us this morning for worship at 5726 Cedar Lake Road at 11 a.m. and again at 6 p.m. There's also a Bible study Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and then another one Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. All of these services are broadcast live on Facebook. And so you're welcome to join us in person or on Facebook. Just like and follow the Oscoda Church of Christ. As an alternative, you're always welcome to call or text me, 989-305-2721, or send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. Join me now in opening our Bibles as we search the Scriptures. Today we are going to be in the book of Malachi, from chapter 3 to the end of the book. Now, remember, the book started with the people of Israel complaining that God hadn't been just, that he was allowing evil to run rampant. He wasn't doing anything. And God's response so far has been to tell them that he is just and that he holds everyone to account, even those people who are doing the complaining. Everyone is held to account. Turn with me to the book of Malachi, chapter 3, starting in verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all of the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and the rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. And thus ends the book of Malachi. Now, if you know anything about the New Testament, about Christianity, you know that the end of Malachi is directly applied to John the Baptist, and it's done by an angel. Read with me from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1 and verse 13. Luke records this for us. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." So yes, Malachi is pointing to John the Baptist, which also means he's pointing to Jesus the Christ, right? Now, the point of today's lesson isn't just to prove that Malachi wrote about John the Baptist foretelling his coming. It is to teach us that the other things which Malachi wrote about also happened in John the Baptist's day. Because if Malachi wrote about John the Baptist, about his coming, all of the other things that surround the coming of John the Baptist also are going to transpire in the day of John the Baptist. And again, that's important for us to understand. So look with me again at Malachi's prophecy about what would be happening during the time of John the Baptist. That last paragraph of chapter 3 in Malachi tells us that God does indeed know those who are faithful there will be faithful Jews in the days of John the Baptist. God knows about them. And even before John the Baptist arrives, God is notating, he's making note of those who are faithful to him, and he has plans to spare them. Spare them from what? And the answer is in the chapter 4, the day of judgment that is coming. And that comes when Jesus comes, because John the Baptist is the herald that is pointing to the one who is to come after him, that is Jesus. And he's not speaking about Jesus' second coming. He's talking about Jesus' first coming. This is a part of Christianity which most people are unaware of, even Christians. But it's in the scriptures. It's even in our New Testament, if you read carefully. Now, also in this last paragraph of chapter 3, God makes it clear that the world will know those who are his, the righteous, and those who are not, the wicked. Indeed, this is one of the things which the world is to see in us as Christians, that we are different, that we stand out. We stand in righteousness, not in wickedness. Now I know there's plenty of people who claim to be Christians, but they live wicked lifestyles. That's not real Christianity, and everybody knows it. And we can look at them, we say, well, they say they're Christians, but they're not. There are also many Christians who do, real Christians, who do give in to the temptation of sin. They commit wicked deeds. But if they're real Christians, they repent of those wicked deeds. They confess their wrongdoing, and then they attempt to never do it again. They try to be faithful for the rest of their lives. That's most of us Christians, by the way, because even as Christians, we still sin. We give in to the temptation, but we are redeemed. We are forgiven. And so confessing our sins, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. That's 1 John chapter 1. Now here, chapter 4 of Malachi outlines the terribleness of God's judgment, and it involves fire, at least for the evildoers, right? And it will be so complete that there's no future for the wicked. There's no root, then there's no branch, meaning that their wickedness is not going to continue. This is the end of the line for them, for their families, for their future. There is no future. There's no root for the tree. There's no branch for the tree. There's nothing to continue. It is just a dead log. Now, those who are righteous, however, not only do they have a future in Malachi, not only does God prophesy that they have a future, but it's a bright future, it's a blessed future, it's a glorious future, it's a joyful future. And they will be free. As Malachi says, they will be leaping like calves from the stall. They're going to be free. And that is us Christians. We are free in Christ. As Paul will write in the book of Galatians, for freedom Christ has set you free. Therefore, do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. We're free. Now going back to Malachi, but Scott, wasn't there judgment like this when there wasn't judgment when Jesus came? Most people don't know about this judgment that happened when Jesus walked the earth. What are you talking about, Scott? And the answer is, look with me, for example, to the Gospel of Matthew. Look at chapter 3 of Matthew, verse 7. Listen to what John the Baptist has to say in the Gospel of Matthew 3. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." John the Baptist is talking about judgment, and it's going to happen through Jesus. This whole section from John the Baptist is about judgment and how to escape that judgment. John speaks of the wrath to come. That's the judgment. And the religious leaders and the conservative Pharisees, the liberal Sadducees, both of them, the experts who know God. I love that. That concept, that idea that comes through in the scriptures, because that points at me, right? I need to make sure that I myself am right with God before I start talking to you about being right with God. And here John the Baptist calls the Pharisees and the Sadducees out. And he tells them they need to repent in order to avoid the judgment. And we too today, same thing. To avoid judgment, what do we need to be doing? Be a repentant people. Just as the Jews in Malachi's day, they needed to repent as well. Some things never change. As John the Baptist is speaking, he talks about the axe being laid at the root of the trees, the base. That means the trees are about to be cut down. And when a tree is cut down, as he says, it's only fit for burning, for fire. These trees are not bearing fruit, and so they become firewood. And John says that Jesus is going to judge as well. Jesus has a winnowing fork. And that winnowing fork is used to separate wheat from chaff, the useful from the useless. The useful wheat goes into Jesus's barn. The useless chaff goes into the fire. The unfruitful, useless tree goes into the fire. And as John says, Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It's weird that some so-called Christian groups today, they purposefully misunderstand what John says here. And they teach that Jesus is going to baptize with a fiery Holy Spirit. But that's not what John is talking about at all. Instead, he says that Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit and that he will baptize with fire. Meaning this, on one side, we have the wheat side. And that wheat side receives the Holy Spirit. The other side, the chaff side, receives fire. Jesus is going to judge, John warns, just as Malachi said would happen. Jesus judged the world when he came, and he found it wanting. And those that were faithful, those who were believers, he brought into his barn. And those that were not believers, into the fire they go. This judgment was issued when Jesus walked the earth, saved and unsaved. And you read through your New Testament, and you find that the early Christians, the first Christians, they started with Jesus and his 12 disciples, and that group grew. And by the time you get to Acts chapter 1, there's 120 believers. And then you get to Acts chapter 2, and there's 3,000 believers. And that sounds like a lot, and it really is. But that's a smattering compared to the number of Jews in the world. And that is minuscule compared to the number of Gentiles in the world. But the church has been growing. The kingdom of God has been growing. And souls have been added through the years over and over and over again. The church growing from, as Jesus says, a small mustard seed into a giant tree that birds can nest in. And so this is one of those points here in the book of Malachi, where the warning is given that judgment is going to be coming, and it does come through John the Baptist and through Jesus. Now, before we get too far from Jesus' judgment, I do want to read this because it sounds contradictory. Look with me from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 4, where Jesus speaks about him coming in judgment. Listen to what he says here, John 12, verse 44. And Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me, sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come into the world to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." Now, some people may mistakenly seize only on the part where Jesus says that he didn't come to judge the world. But in that same section, in that same paragraph, Jesus says, "My words judge the world." See, Jesus spoke the truth given to him by the Father. The Father has judged the world. Jesus didn't have to do it. The Father has already judged the world. And what did he find? He found that many people needed to repent. In fact, all of us. He found few believers, few faithful. And that's the words that Jesus was given to speak by the Father. In fact, there will come a point where there will be a Gentile who will approach Jesus and ask for Jesus to heal his servant. And Jesus, in their conversation, Jesus will say of this Gentile, of this non-Jew, that there is no one in Israel that has faith like this man does. Jesus came to save us, but he also spoke the words of the Father, which judge us. And so we're not innocent. Jesus didn't come to save us because we're not innocent. He came to save us because we are guilty. Those are the ones who need the saving. Now, those who reject Jesus, they're judged. Jesus has them judged already by the word from the Father. Because if you believe in Jesus, you believe in Father. If you reject Jesus, you reject the Father. Those who believe in Jesus come into the light. They no longer remain in darkness. They've moved out of judgment and into light, and they have eternal life. This is what Jesus has just told us here in the Gospel of John. But judgment happened when Jesus came. The axe was laid at the root of the tree, and Jesus had the winnowing fork to separate wheat from chaff. And so God gave Malachi his message in his day so that the Jews of Malachi's day would repent. And some of them did. This is the last part of Malachi chapter 3. God's message for Malachi was to save them from the judgment. And John the Baptist, when he came, when he gave his message, he called the people to repentance also, to save the Jews from judgment, which some of them did. Many people came out to be baptized by John. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they rejected John because he told them that they need to be repentant people. And their response was, we don't need to repent of anything. They thought that they were fine the way they were. They clearly were not. Jesus, when he gave his message while he walked the earth, he called the people to repentance to save them from judgment. People repented, but not enough. So many rejected Jesus, rejected his message. As I said, he walked the earth. He had his 12 disciples. And then in Acts chapter 1, there was 120. And then in Acts chapter 2, there was 3,000. And from there, it just grew. But it's minuscule compared to the number of people who need to repent. The apostles, when they gave their message, calling the people to repentance, Christianity grew. It started in Jerusalem and moved to Judea and it moved to Samaria and it moved to the ends of the earth. And even to this day, when the message is given, you know what people need to do? People need to be repentant, even to this day, today. And as Christians, we're not sinless people. Christians sin, and we Christians, we make mistakes, but we're called to be a repentant people. That means confessing that, yes, indeed, we have made mistakes, that we make mistakes, and we vow not to commit those mistakes again. Part of that repentance is, yes, I've done wrong, but also part of that repentance is starting to live the way God would have us to live. And you read the book of Malachi, and you read the gospel accounts, and you read the epistles to the church, and what do you see over and over again? God correcting our behavior so that we start to live the way God would have us to live. Loving God, loving our neighbor, these are things that we learn from our New Testament, being a repentant people. Because the world's not teaching us to love God, and the world's not teaching us to love our neighbor. God does. And so we read our scriptures, because they encourage, train, and show us how we're supposed to be living. That option, of course, is still available to us to this day. Love God, love your neighbor. We can still do that today. The message is the same. We need to be a repentant people. There's over 7 billion people on this planet right now. 7 billion. So many people. And we all need to be a repentant people, even now, to this day. Because while the world already has been judged when Jesus walked the earth 2,000 years ago, he's coming back. And when he comes back, there's going to be a final judgment of the world, of us all, these 7 billion plus people, however many people there are, we will all be judged. God has given us assurance of this by raising the judge from the dead. His name is Jesus. That day of judgment is coming. So the question for you today, this day, is this. Are you a repentant person? Meaning, have you confessed that you make mistakes, and are you trying to live the way God would have you to live? God has gone to great lengths to offer you the opportunity of repentance. He's recorded for us the message from Malachi. He's recorded for us the message from John the Baptist. He's recorded for us the message from Jesus. He's recorded for us the message from the apostles. And right now, I am here to call you to repentance. And this too is a recording. God is calling you to repentance over and over again. Why is that? Because he takes no delight in the death of the wicked. He is trying to save us all. He sent his son that we all might be saved. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, that we might have eternal life. God doesn't want to condemn people. Jesus was sent by the Father to save it, not condemn it. We read that in the Gospel of John. Jesus was sent by the Father to save you, not condemn you. As always, though, the choice is yours. Will you be saved today? Will you be a repentant person today? I pray that you will make the right choice today, the wise choice. What do you choose this day? Well, I hope you've enjoyed our time in the Scriptures today. I thank you for joining me. If I can pray for you, set up a personal Bible study, help you in any way, please let me know. Again, my name is Scott Busich. I preach for the Oscoda Church of Christ at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, just 1 mile north of F-41 on Cedar Lake Road in Oscoda. And I invite you to worship with us at 11 o'clock this morning. Or feel free to call or text me, 989-305-2721. Or you can send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. And as always, may God bless you as you go to worship this day.
I'm gonna tell you about the coming of the judgment fairly well, fairly well. I'm gonna tell you about the coming of the judgment fairly well, fairly well. There's a better day a coming fairly well, fairly well. There's a better day a coming fairly well, fairly well. In that great again the morning fairly well, fairly well. In that great again the morning fairly well, fairly well.
When you see the lightning flashing
fairly well, fairly well. When you hear the thunder crashing fairly well, fairly well. When you see the stars are falling fairly well, fairly well.
When you hear the chariot calling
fairly well, fairly well.
I'm gonna
ride the chariot in the morning, Lord.
I'm gonna ride
the chariot in the morning, Lord.
I'm getting ready,
I'm getting ready for the judgment day, my Lord, my Lord.
I'm gonna ride
behind the chariot in the morning, Lord.
I'm gonna ride
behind the chariot in the morning, Lord.
I'm getting ready,
I'm getting ready for the judgment day, my Lord, my Lord.
In that great
again the morning fairly well, fairly well.
In that great
again the morning fairly well, fairly well.
When you see the lightning flashing,
when you hear the thunder crashing, when you see the stars are falling, when you hear the chariots calling, good news, chariots coming, good news, chariots coming.
So glad
chariots coming, I want to be left out.
There's a long white robe in heaven, I know.
Long white robe in heaven, I know. Long white robe in heaven, I know.
I said good news,
chariots coming, good news, chariots coming. So glad chariots coming, I want to be left out. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, fly away. Mars is flown, I'll fly away, fly away. I'll fly away, fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away, fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away, fly away.
few more weary days, and then I'll fly away, fly away,
fly away
to a land where joy shall ever end. And I'll fly away, fly away,
fly away.
I'll fly away, fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away, fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by,
I'll fly away, fly away.
In that great, again in the morning, fairly well,
in that great,
again in the morning, fairly well,
in that great.
Get in the morning fairly well,
ain't that great?
Get in the morning fairly well.